We're in Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles today, let's read verse 7. Apostle Paul writes, "But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." And this is just one part of a new passage that we begin today that goes all the way up to actually verse 16, where Paul will begin to talk about the gifts that Jesus Christ has given to his church. But today we'll just begin with and kind of start a foundation. If you recall, and it's been several years now, we've gone through the first three chapters of Ephesians, and Paul has introduced us to the fundamental or to the foundational truths of Christianity. We call this theology. This is the teaching about God, the teaching about His Word. These are essential truths. These are essential, foundational, basic things that every Christian should be acquainted with. When we say the word election, or when we say the word adoption, or when we talk about certain other words that Paul has introduced us to in chapter 1 and chapter 2, these should be familiar subjects that every single one of us as a Christian should be able to sit down with somebody that doesn't come to church, somebody that doesn't know the Lord, and we should be able to explain that to them and fit it into an overall puzzle or mosaic so that they have a clear picture of God's plan of salvation. Every single one of these words deal with one little small aspect of our Christian life. And beginning with chapter 4, Paul says, now that you have learned all these things, let's stop and think about that and repeat that phrase. Now that you have learned all these things, not just heard them preached from this pulpit, but now that you learned and know these things, and now that you meditate on these things day and night as the blessed man in Psalm 1, now that you know these truths, now go and live them. And beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you to walk worthy of your calling. And worthy means equal to, as we talked about last Sunday in a mathematical equation. You have the little equal sign. To know how you have to live, you have to know the Scripture, first of all. If you recall, in the first chapter of Ephesians, we talked about the spiritual blessings that God has blessed us with. And Paul uses an expression there, and he talks about out of the infinite resources, or out of God's warehouse of spiritual blessings. Some of you young people, maybe some of you children, sometimes you've been sent someplace by your parents to buy something. And your parents, maybe in this modern day and age, have entrusted you with their credit card or with their debit card. Or maybe some of you are fortunate enough and your name is on a checking account and that checking account belongs to somebody else, but you can use that checking account. Then, of course, you have to turn in your receipts to justify where you spent somebody else's money. But that is what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. God our Father has a storehouse, an unlimited warehouse full of power and spiritual blessings that are absolutely full, and they are there for us to use. And God, as our Heavenly Father, we as His adopted spiritual children have the right and the authority to go into that warehouse and use whatever resources we need to live worthy of the calling with which God has called us to do. Notice that the calling is God's calling. It is not to do as we please with God's resources and God's grace and God's gifts, but according to how God has called us. And so Paul, in these first couple of verses, in the last couple of months, as we've gone through these first six verses, remember the two keys that Paul has given us. The first one is that we are to walk worthy, and the second one is that we are to walk united as a body, as one body. There are to be no divisions in the body of Christ. We are one. And Paul mentioned seven different uniting factors that the church has, and last Sunday we talked about the fact that they all begin, and they are as a result of, and they culminate as a result of what God the Father has done for us. And our Christian unity is represented and given to us as an example by what the Trinity does for us. We're the three persons of the Trinity. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, the way they cooperate together and complement each other in our the working out of our salvation, that is an example to us of how we as a body united are to live for the glory of God, worthy of the calling with which God has called us. Verse 7 begins with an interesting word. After Paul has gone through our worthy walk, after Paul has explained that we are supposed to be united as one, he then says, however. The word he uses here is but. In Russian, it's no. In other words, everything that you have heard me say before, now I want to make a contrast to another spiritual truth. And the other spiritual truth that Paul begins to tell us here in verse 7 is that although we are one body, although we are united through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, yet every single one of us individually has a different function within the body of Christ. And Paul will go on and make an example of our physical body. Which interestingly, when God, the sovereign ruler and creator of the world, when he created us, when God created Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve with one head. But he gave them two eyes. He gave them two feet, two ears. He gave us many teeth. He gave us millions and millions of individual cells. Why God didn't give us three eyes or four eyes? God decided that. He is sovereign creator of the universe. And God is sovereign creator of his body, the church. And to each and single one of us, God tells us here in this verse that to every single one of us that are one body in Christ, but yet we are made up of many individual members, God has given us a special, unique gift. According to the measure of God's grace, according to the gift of Jesus Christ, and we are to take that gift, which the Bible in other verses, in other places, calls spiritual gifts, and we're supposed to use this gift for the glory of God in ministry and in service to other people in the church. And so we have this contrast. We have this contrast of one body, but many diverse and different and unique gifts. Scientists tell us that snowflakes are very unique. I don't have any way of checking this, but they tell us that no two snowflakes are identical. When we look at snowflakes, we notice that they all look alike to us. And when they fall to the ground, they create a traffic mess on the freeway in those cities where they have snowstorms. But when God sends snowflakes, every single one of them has its own unique shape. Although they all look very similar, they are all very different. And in the very same way, although we are one body, one organism, a living organism, and yet every single one of us as members of the body of Christ has a unique function in the church and has a gift God has given to us that we are to use in ministry to others. And so Paul says to each one of you, to every single one of you within the one body of Christ, God, according to his grace, has given. What is this word grace? That's one of the Apostle Paul's favorite words. In his epistles, he uses it 110 times approximately, depending on translation you have. This word, it talks about something that you get for free. This word describes something that a person gives to you that you don't deserve. You haven't earned it. You don't deserve it. And it doesn't depend on what you do. God has given it to us. To everyone that is a born again, adopted child of God in the one body of the church, God has given a special, unique gift according to his grace. What does that mean? That means although every single one of us has a gift or gifts, some of us have more than one spiritual gift, God doesn't give it to us because we deserve it. And God doesn't tell us to go out and look for the spiritual gift. God gives you a gift and you're supposed to know what your gift is. And then you're supposed to use it. And you're not supposed to desire to have my gift. That was the 10th commandment, remember. that the kids sang about. You're supposed to take your gift and use your gift for the glory of God. And so according to His grace, freely God has given to us. And we are to take this gift and freely use it in the church to the glory of God, ministering to every other cell in the body of Christ. And when you're doing that, you will not only minister to the cell in your fingers and in your eyes and in your brain and in your heart and in your toes and in your feet. You are ministering to the whole body. And when your toe hurts, your whole body hurts. When your eye hurts, your whole body hurts. We know this concept. And Paul says, freely God has given to you. And secondly, He is given to you according to the gift of Jesus Christ. God decides what gift to give you. You can't choose it. You take the gift that God gave you and you use it. And so now in the body of Christ, we have a problem. There are some people that use their gift, and there are some people that don't use their gift. And as you know, your muscles, they deteriorate if you don't use them. If you don't exercise them, they become sloppy and they become limp, and then they're no use to the body. And instead of being a profit to the body, instead of being good for the body, the muscle can actually hang as a weight and drag the body down. You've seen people maybe that are paralyzed. I remember when I had a paralysis, my face was useless. I couldn't use half of my face. I couldn't drink. I couldn't eat on that side of my face. It was useless. It just hangs there. Okay? Sometimes you can't even speak when you're paralyzed. Okay? God has given us this gift so that we would use it. Paul goes on and he describes this gift and he says that it is for the edification of the church. In other words, to build up every single individual member within the body of Christ so that the body of Christ together as one unit would bring glory to God. That is the purpose of spiritual gifts. And Paul says to every single one of us, God has given this gift freely that He gave, and God has a purpose for it. Now, for those of you that don't use your gift, God has a very serious warning. There's a parable that Jesus told about the unfaithful, evil, lazy servant. And when the master came home, he says, "Why did you bury my money in the backyard?" And the evil, lazy servant says, "But I did not lose it. I preserved it for you." God has not given you a spiritual gift for you to preserve it in vinegar in a jar on the shelf or in the basement. God has given it to you to use. And so when you don't use your gift in the body of Christ, you are hurting the body of Christ. You are doing injury to the body of Christ. And you are insulting the grace of God that freely has given you this gift. As we look at these verses in the next few weeks, my prayer is that God would begin to understand and give us understanding of the spiritual truth, and that all of us would begin to practice and utilize the gifts that God has given us for His glory. Amen.